Hey y'all, welcome back to Bowls with the Bard. My name is Cakes. I am your host. And today we are kicking off part two of Broads in the Bard by talking with Lizzie and Valentina about Shakespeare. Before we do that, let's meet our players. Lizzie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. I am Lizzie, fully known as Lizzie Conrad Hughes. I'm artistic director of Shakespeare, UK-based Shakespeare company, and my business partner is.
Hi, I'm Valentina, and I am partner in Shakespeare Company, and I'm also the technical producer. We also have a third partner who couldn't be with us today. Her name is Linda. And
Yes.
hi.
Yes.
But
Hi, Linda.
awesome. So great to meet you both. I am stoked to talk about your company. But before we do that, I'm going to get a little high, and I think you two ladies brought something to sip on and snack on while I do that. Awesome. All right, y'all, we are back. I am nice and toasty, and these ladies have enjoyed a nice little drink. So let's get started and talk about your incredible theater company, Shakespeare. And to get started, would you guys like to tell us a little bit more about what you do?
What we do. We are currently the only UK-based theatre company who work. Basically, our shtick is cue-based performances, or what is occasionally known as cue scripting, or what you guys know as unrehearsed. So that's the kind of performance that we do. We do it in person, we do it online, and we've done it for. Oh gosh, I did work this out and now I've forgotten. I've been playing around with the technique for about 10 years now. Shakescene's been going for about seven.
Wow, so
So
cool.
that's who we are and what we do.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more about what cue-based performance is?
Okay. Cue-based performance. Sorry, I feel like it's press button B and you get the standard reply these days. So I'm sorry if it comes out a bit like that. But cue-based performance is the modern interpretation or technique that's based on how we believe theatre was prepared back in the original day. So go back 400 years to the playhouses of London and the performances of the Lord Chamberlain's men and all these people, and what they were receiving. So their method for preparing performance was not what we have today. There's no director, there's no designer. There's no immersive, days and days and days sort of going, well, what does this line mean? And let's peel the onion. There's none of that. Because back in Shakespeare's day, as is reasonably well known, they were putting on a different play every day and pretty much, seven plays a week, although they did repeat a bit. And so there is no space for that. So all the actors that are involved are receiving their part, which is just their lines to speak and their immediate cues to enter, which could be audible or visual, which throws a real little spanner in the works when you think about it, and possibly a cue to do a specific action, although possibly not. This is not clear. But basically, you would receive your part, which was just your lines and your cues. You would go away, you would learn your lines, and you would come back. There would be minimal rehearsal, only that which is necessary. So fights, dances, songs, everybody knows they did certain amount of entrances and exits, possibly, and then you perform. That's it. And so the technique that we use is a radical re-envisioning of what that might have been like in a way. Because we can't repeat it. We make no claims to we're doing it the way they did. That's impossible to say. It's all my fault. I read a book about it and just went. I literally read a book, my head exploded, and I'm like, I want to do this. And because I'm an actor and all my friends are actors, you kind of go, I've got this mad idea. Do you want to play? And seven,
All
8 years
mad
down the
people say
line,
yes.
yeah, for some reason, I still have actors who say, yes, I want to do that. It sounds fun. So I count myself very lucky in that respect.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's thrilling. As an actor, I can see all the ways that that would add exciting challenges to working on Shakespeare. But I'm even more interested in knowing, like, how does that change an audience's experience with this work?
We've had lovely audience feedback. It's one of the nicest things, because we work in shared light. So we're completely accessible from that point of view. Everything is shared. One of the nicest audience comments I ever got was, it was a privilege to witness the creative moments, if you see what I mean. So those moments of discovery that generally happen in a rehearsal room and then you sort of try to recreate without just recreating them in performance, all of that was happening in front of the audience, because the actors discover what the play is at the same time the audience do. I mean, I know Valentina's had plenty of time sort of in performance with us where you come on to do a scene and you think you know who you're going to be on with, and then you're like, what the heck are you guys doing here? You know.
Yeah. It's my favorite moment when you think you're talking to one person and there's about five people on stage and you're going like, oh my God. like, whoa, all right. Who's this line directed to? Who's going to answer me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Valentina, do you have any stories about that?
I mean, we do. I think the for me, relatively recently, we did a Coriolanus online, and I found out on Zoom that the big famous monologue of Coriolanus has the queue for that queues about five people to speak. So I had to fight against the other people and Zoom for my lines to actually be heard. And it was quite, I mean, it really does go with the character, because at that point he's just, it's a mess and he's just having to overpower everybody. And he manages to, because his line is much longer than everybody else. So at the end of it is, yeah, it is... It serves the text, but there's been a few. I think my first go with Lizzie, she did a very cruel thing. She gave me a scene from Othello, from between Desdemona and, oh my God, I've forgotten her name.
Emilia.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Sorry, at a moment.
Okay.
And it's a scene where Desdemona starts to sing. Unfortunately, I was playing Emilia, and in my part, there was nothing that would indicate her singing at all. Plus, I think the line, I had a few lines that were like, lady, I'm gonna go. And I was like, and then she starts singing. And I was there like, I still have lines, but also this is a bit awkward because I'm like, why is she singing? Like, what is going on? So yeah, there's been a few, that happens a lot.
That sort of moment is what makes the performance really, sort of really in the moment for the, because a big sort of argument about, I get so many people saying that would never work. You couldn't do it. I'm like, we actually do it. So you can do it. And one of the things is you talk about characterization, and Valentina doesn't have to plan to feel awkward at the moment when Desdemona starts singing. It happens organically. It's like you are put in that position and it's your actual feelings of the actor that come through and become the feelings of the character.
It does work. It's quite an interesting. Plus, you have to put, like, I think that there's an element of not having a director or a designer that it is quite risky, but also it does allow actors to make their own choices. And sometimes you get really surprised by the choices that are made. Actually, I mean, there's no such thing as a bad surprise as a good surprise. It's just you're there and you're reacting in the moment. And I'm thinking of Simon and Tom in Titus.
Titus Andronicus. They were Demetrius and Chiron, and they planned a little trick that they didn't share with any of us. After they'd gone off to do the ravishing and the other things that are done to Lavinia. You tell it, I can't.
And the cutting of the tongue, and they came back on scene, on stage. We were online, so it was like on Zoom, with a piece of salami each, and they just ate her tongue. And we
Oh.
were all like, yeah, I mean, it worked perfectly, but it was a great choice. But yeah,
Oh.
it's so risky,
Yeah.
but it's also like so
Yeah.
surprising every time because, you never know what people are going to do.
I should say that within the technique, there is a safety sort of belt, if you like, that everybody is offered one-to-one preparation time with me. My role within the company is I'm bookholder. So I'm the closest thing that comes to a director. But my role is basically, yes, you have the proper meaning of that word of that line. Yes, you can interpret it like that. Because sometimes people, you got to know what it is you're saying before you can say it. To dip into why that particular thing happened was back during lockdown when we started doing the online work. Everything was turning out really quickly, and people weren't always coming to me for a full work through on their part. And then we started this thing of, I've got an idea, can I run with it? Well, is it going to get us chucked off the air? No. Okay, then you can do it. And we just sort of, because we built up trust because the company were performing together so much, and I just didn't want to
Yes.
break that, and it was fun.
Yeah, and on that point, even with we do have rules. I mean, you can't
Yes.
just do whatever you want. We do have rules to safeguard our actors, both mentally and physically, when we do in person. So it's not like, but even with the rules, sometimes you just go like, what's
Things
happening?
happen.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the actors, and sometimes it's Mr. Shakespeare throwing spanners in the work.
He does do that. He does do that. And you can also do the thing of you can think that you know a play. Like Valentina, when we were talking, she told me a while ago about that thing with Othello. And she's going, I really know Othello. I know that play. And I totally forgot that that happened. And it's like, yeah, I played Prospero the first time I staged a full play with this technique. I played Prospero in The Tempest. I did that at school. I've seen it 1,000 times. I know that play backwards. I set up the book script. I cut out the parts. I was on stage looking at people going, what the heck are you saying? It's something about the technique that it just erases the rest of your brain. And you can be totally lost and totally surprised in an incredibly familiar place, which is one of the things I love about it. So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
it's one of the things that is incredibly enjoyable to watch. And I
Yes.
think it does, yeah, I think it brings theatre, I don't want to say back to its origins because its origins are not even in, it's much older than we think it is, but back to the actors in a way, because it's audience and actors. And I mean, the props are there if you want them to, that it's all like, but it's just literally, it's about what is happening in that moment in front of those people. Occasionally, the audience interacts because some actors really like playing with the audience.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And we encourage this.
Of course, they're
Yeah.
there. It's not like I can pretend that they're not. But yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like it adds a very exciting level of authenticity to the performance, which is so cool. You mentioned
It is absolutely real. Yeah.
that y'all do performances on Zoom. I'm really interested. I feel like since the pandemic has simmered, maybe not quite gone away,
Ours is back, but yeah.
Zoom, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Zoom theater has kind of fizzled and there's less of it. And I think that's kind of a bummer. So I'm interested to know what the two of you think is the value of continuing to produce theater like that in a world where we can see it live.
Yeah. Do you want this one, Valley, or shall I?
Well, let me just harp on this. Not
Go.
everybody can see it live because there are people that have limitations, either physical or of location or of. So, Zoom theater, it does allow us to involve both on the audience side and on the acting side, people that wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to work with us otherwise. auto partners. So there's that. There's also, I mean, it's, I don't understand why it's simmered down, because obviously people get busy as well, and you might not necessarily want to watch your screen as much as we used to. Like, you don't have that sense of like needing a connection all the time, but it is a new medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why it should go away entirely. We have people that follow us online, and we're not about to stop just entertaining them and just like working with them.
We've also got, we've built up accidentally, I never intended this to happen, but we have a company of about 40, 50 actors. And at the moment we are spread from California to Moscow. That's where our people live. I mean, yes, all over London. Yes, all over the UK. We also have some regulars in Paris, France, and in Germany, and Greece. One of ours has just moved to Greece, and someone else is in Cyprus. And we want, it's like all these people, they've gotten used to being a company and working together, and they don't want to stop, and I don't want to stop. And so we have the audience and the company. We have members who are chronically ill of one sort or another, and to do a full performance and a journey and a whole day in the theatre would be too much for them. So this includes them. We have someone else who is mother to a toddler, but she performs with us in the upstairs room, and dad or grandma is with the kid. Do you know what I mean? She's just there.
But she was able to breastfeed while we were, when we were, because obviously she's not on all the time. So,
Yes, that we didn't have on camera. I'm just going to say that, really. that was not part of a characterization. But yeah, there's also another thing which I've just got to plug, because it's I get teased by the company because apparently I have a lot of favourite things about this. But one of my favourite things is we've discovered that it works really well with actors who are ADHD or autistic or neurodivergent in any respect, by which I count basically everybody. And that makes me very, very happy, because I've had some lovely conversations with some of the actors kind of going, well, what is it and why are you? And that's another reason why we keep it going. And several of those are in the States. And again, we just don't want to lose contact with these fabulous people that we just want to go on working with, you know, and see what we can do with it. Plus, we've got a whole physicalized art form that has been created by the company of how we pass objects. You know, how we have fights. And when Valentina mentioned her Coriolanus, her fight with Orphidius, this is one of my favorites, featured a rock that went through three screens.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I still don't know how they did it. But do you
one
know what
of
I mean?
One was in Germany and one was in Scotland. So that was fun. it was a mighty rock.
It traveled.
Yeah.
So it's just one of the, we're having too much fun with it. Plus, it's like I said this to Valentina earlier. It's like when television and film came along, radio didn't just get binned as irrelevant. You know, it's an additional thing. It's not an instead of thing. And we got very attached to it. And like as Mally said, we're just not letting go. So
yeah, and there's there is an argument for. You know, we live in, especially young people or like younger generations, we live in a world of pre-recorded stuff, but we do perform live online. And that, I think, does make a difference. It's a bit like watching live TV and watching Netflix. It's just two slightly different things. And it does require, I think it does require, because occasionally I do, I'm involved in a lot of the productions because I also have to do the streaming, so I might as well act.
Her excuse. Don't believe that for a second.
But I do occasionally watch one live when I just like, you know, if I, like, I just set it up and just watch it. And it does require a little more from the audience, I think, than just watching something on, even the like NT Live or anything like that, just something pre-recorded, because it is happening in front of you. It does a little bit of a lag, but it's not like we can do anything with that. If something goes wrong, it goes wrong. And then you just, again, it's that moment of creation going like, what are they going to do now?
we've had people run out of data. We had in the middle of a show, one of the Henrys, a whole section of London, the Wi-Fi went down.
Oh my
gosh. And I was, because I sit here on book in Prompter's Corner, and I'm here to be called on if there's a, I had to suddenly take over like an entire character until they came back up. We had somebody nearly run out of electricity. We did Titus Andronicus with somebody on little electricity, and she and we I was just like this.
And let me tell you, because I see the comments on YouTube, people love it when Lizzie comes up, because when she comes up, usually it's a mistake, but like when she appears on screen, people love it. So I'm just like, it's and I think it's because like the audience needs to like they have to have that little effort of like believing what is happening. And then they're with you. And I think that's why we keep, like, we have very loyal audiences that just have followed us for now 3-4 years.
That's amazing. So this Zoom element, as you have brought up, has connected you to people from all around the world. I'm curious, has that like taught you new things about Shakespeare, like working with people who might learn it in different ways?
So I'm looking at my Italian partner, seeing if she wants to answer this one.
I mean, I think one of the pillars of our companies is Shakespeare is for everyone. That's our tagline, that's our motto. So it's not like we expected to have problems or not to find anything. There are a lot of, I think that there's a big misconception on Shakespeare, and I say this as an Italian, is that the fact that he was not immersed in a multicultural city or culture or environment. There are so many bilingual jokes in Shakespeare, starting from the names of certain characters, and not just Italian, not just Spanish, but like there's so many that it's always seen to, I mean, whoever gets the character is usually, I mean, I would say normally, it's interesting to watch because everybody brings to the character a different person. But when it is a bilingual person, it's for me, it's especially interesting. And I've been working on Orlando, for example, and we found out that, like, I mean, Orlando's grammar in the text is already pretty bad. His poems are very famous for being terrible and they don't rhyme. And I was looking at the text and I was like, well, he is not rhyming by pronunciation, he's rhyming by spelling. Much as a person whose English is a second language would do, because you would expect it to be pronounced the same way. So slave and have, if you look at how they're written, would actually rhyme. But unfortunately, English doesn't work that way. So yeah, there's a lot of that comes up. And I think for me, it's been particularly interesting to see Olga, who's a Russian company member, do some of the characters, because I think sometimes her cultural references are completely different from ours. We got so many. And I think I'm very proud of this. We don't really gatekeep any sort of character, and we allow people to just bring their own experiences to it. So interesting to watch. Yeah. And it's so interesting to, like, you always find something different. I don't know if it is like, I mean, sometimes it is revolutionary, I would say, but it's not, I don't know, like, there's something about it that is just, you know, you're not going to go, oh my God, like, what, out of the realm of creation, of thinking. It's just a different light. And for a lot, like, when I started doing Shakespeare in English about 10 years ago, one of the first few things that I've been, that introduced me to Shakespeare was sound play. So you can go through the language and look at the sounds and what are the sounds, like an S sound or an M sound, like an M sound for most languages would remind you of mother, of like all of, like it's a warm sound. And where are your references for it? And it's quite easy. It's an easy way for non-native English speakers to get into the text, because it does take you away for a second from the meaning. It's just like each language that you speak has got different references for sounds. So even just that is quite, it's just quite interesting to listen.
Yeah. I don't know if I've been lucky or what, but I've worked with a lot of actors of other, you know, of other native languages than English. And one of the things that actually hurts me is when somebody says, I can't do Shakespeare because I'm French. I can't do Shakespeare because I'm whatever. And I'm like, what on earth difference does that make? Oh, because it's English and it's your language. I'm like, it's not my language. No, I'm like, my point of view is, and I'm sure Cakes wants to agree with it, is nobody speaks Shakespeare. Nobody understands Shakespeare. We've all got to learn it as a foreign language, basically, before we can do it. So I'm like, we're all in actually exactly the same place, you know, and that to me is part of the, it's for everybody. I don't care what your education was. I don't care what English accent you have. We have so much prejudice around regional accents in English, which is beginning to change, thank goodness. But, you know, it's sort of like, no, because none of that is true. You know, Shakespeare didn't sound like me. You know, Shakespeare, you know, language didn't sound like that then, if nothing else. So, yeah, it's just part for us. It's everybody. Everybody's welcome. Everybody play, please. And bring into us what you have, because we're interested.
Yeah. I love that.
And it's always fun when it's always fun when you get somebody do an accent that is not their own and they just go with it. I'm just thinking of Linda doing Italian. I was a little bit like, I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it was written, so she had to. It was great.
Actually, what was really funny is we have a French member of the company. He's currently based in Paris, and sometimes I cast him as French characters, and when he plays a Frenchman, he just French you. You know what I mean? He just overcooks his, and he loves doing it. I don't make him do it. It's not my idea. He just goes with this kind of thing of, you know, let's present, you know, this version of a Frenchman. And he thinks it's hilarious. So I'm like, bye. Are you happy?
Oh, that's delightful. Well, to wrap things up, we are focusing this season on women who are making an impact in Shakespeare. And when we were talking about scheduling this conversation, you brought up that you have a female-led company. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to know, how do you think having an all-female-led company influences your approach to Shakespeare?
I think it comes back to the thing of not getting, you know, I can't comment on how male-led companies feel they do things. But it comes back for us, it comes back to the openness, the inclusivity. We don't gatekeep. Everybody is welcome in, and we are very happy to share everything that we do. I don't know. Because I mean, the way that I've always looked at casting is similarly non sort of proprietorial, in that everybody can play any role. I look at the energy of the person and the voice of the people that I have to cast. Like, for example, I mean, Valentina's mentioned the fact that she played Coriolanus. She's also played Beatrice and Lady Macbeth and so many messengers and heralds and priests and, you know, little bit parts. And that for me is part of the joy. And I, again, because I don't know how our other companies work, but I know how we work, and that is very, very important to us. I know that for me, I do think this is going to sound corny as heck, so please feel free to cut it out. But I did kind of create, you know, because this is based off a crazy idea that I had, this whole company and this whole thing that's been created, and I do feel quite maternal towards it. You know, I care for it, and sometimes we all have to learn a hard lesson, and then we grow and we move on, and nobody's got an ego. And I don't know if that's because we're female led or if it's just I've been lucky in the people that have come to the technique, because nobody's trying to sort of push their own agenda. No one's trying to, and it's just, we all want to make things happen, and then we do. Basically, so
yeah, it's very collaborative.
Yeah,
and I mean, again, like, I don't know how other companies work, but like, it is very collaborative. We are in pre-production now, for some shows that we're going to do Upper Shakespeare North Playhouse in August. And the production team is all female. And it's very, I think there's a big understanding that we all wear multiple hats, mm-hmm. both in the company and outside. So there's been a lot of like, let me lighten your load, or can you please take this for now? And okay. like, it's collaborative in a way that is not necessarily structured, but it is.
It's practical.
It's practical. Yeah, it works somehow. Yes.
Have you got time to do this? Like I've just been having a text exchange with our company member who's doing the fundraising challenge this week. And we've been having a kind of exchange about, if I send you this on this day, can you do it? Or do you want me to do it first? And I'm like, it's fine. Just send it. I can do it on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, we all just work together because we all just focus on, this is what we want to achieve. And sometimes I'm in the lead and sometimes someone else is in the lead. And I like that. I think it's helpful, you know. Sometimes I need it to be one of them, you know, because it's sort of like, okay, you're better at this than me. Please do it.
Yeah, I don't know if it is because we're all female or not, but I think we all come from a place of like underdog. So it kind of like there's no like, it was like, oh, just, you know, like you,
that's
like,
our name.
Done it this way. It's just like, it's a little like we're just helping each other up.
Yeah, I christened a shake scene, and it is taken from the Robert Greene quote, the only shake scene in a country. Because at the time I started out, I felt very much that nobody wanted to listen. Nobody else wanted to do this. Everybody else thought it was crazy. And I was so fired up. I'm like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what what the upstart crows of this world can do. So, yeah. I don't know if it's because we're girls or because we're fighters. But I should say that there is one male actor in the company for the summer. That the entire production team is female. So all the people who are putting the production together, we're all female or female identifying. But yes, there is one male, actual male presenting and identifying actor in the actual cast. I just feel I should say that for full disclosure.
No, because again, we don't gatekeep. It happens that way. Yeah, for some reason. Yeah.
But, yeah. Again, that wasn't deliberate. It was all the best people to work on the project. So.
Well, it has been absolutely wonderful getting to know you and getting to know your company. Before we wrap up, I know you have some projects to plug and a crowdfunder to plug.
So yes, please.
Plug away.
Okay. So the project we were just talking about in August this year, we are going to Shakespeare North Playhouse. And if you haven't heard what that is, it is the newest Renaissance rebuild. It's a brand new modern theatre that's been built near Liverpool in the north of England, and it's inspired by the Cockpit at Court. They also have a little outside venue, which because they weren't going to let us in the big one, so we're in the outside, and we are taking two plays up there. We're taking a happy love story, As You Like It, and a sad love story, Antony and Cleopatra, both of which have been edited down to approximately 90 minutes. And we will be there, and on the, I'm going to get the dates wrong, Valet, but I'm going to try. On the 15th of August, we're doing As You Like It in the evening. And then on the 17th of August, we're doing Antony and Cleopatra in the evening. And then on the...
Wait, 16th, you jumped one day. 16th of August.
15th, 16th, I can't count. This is why I need other people. 15th, 16th, and Saturday the 17th, we are doing As You Like It in the afternoon and Antony and Cleopatra in the evening. So, and we have a company of six actors, me as the book holder, and a fabulous ASM/swing/doing everything else. So there's only going to be eight of us to pull this off. And it's our first time going to Shakespeare North, and we're incredibly excited. And then there's another thing we have to do, which Valet's going to tell you about.
I'll take it. Right. So we are crowdfunding. We are in the final stretch of our crowdfund. We are just over 50%. You've got 13 days to help us out. There are some amazing rewards, including send an insult, which is my personal favorite, or send a love quote. It's fine. We do offer cameo style videos for your loved ones or the people that you don't like, or if the people that you like, if your relationship is that way. But there's a lot to see, to watch. Every week there's a new challenge. I think the current one is our Scottish-based company member is going to hike. What is it?
She's going to hike Trimontium, which is a local mountain to where she lives, which has the ruins of a Roman fort on the top. She's doing it dressed as Antony, and she has to declaim an Antony sort of world-dominating speech at the top. That is if we break the necessary boundary this week. Next week, there's a cold water challenge, which I'm doing with another company member. We're having a return grudge match because she beat me in the plank off.
Yes, and as you can see, Lizzie is very happy about that.
Yeah, we are, so we're crowdfunding all over the place. Our link is all over our TikTok and all our socials. We are also on Patreon if you would like to support us that way. We're also, I mean, the online plays you can buy tickets for on Eventbrite. Just, you know, again, there are links to everything all over our socials and all over our website. So, Belly, did I say everything?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we also ask you for all of those links, and we'll link to those things in the description as well. So if any of y'all listeners need it, you can find it in the description. I think that is all I have for both of you. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for reaching out. I really appreciate it. I have so enjoyed getting to know you.
Oh, us too. You. It's been, as I said when we started, I had a little fangirl moment because you were like one of the very first people I ever followed on TikTok. So thank you for talking to us.
Of course, of course. All right, y'all. That is all from us. Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, you can follow Lizzie, Valentina, and Shakespeare Shakespeare at the handles either on your screen or in the description. You can also find links to their crowdfunder in the description. And tune in the next couple weeks as we talk to cast members from this season of the Colorado Shakespeare Festival about some of the women in Macbeth and the Merry Wives of Windsor. Until then, bye y'all.
A thousand, thousand sighs to save, oh, lay me where sad true lover never find my grave to weep there.